With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because you didn't earn it. That's why. All right, hour two. We're going to get into NBA. Nice little bridge there from the open. Tiki and Tierney. The Tiki and Tierney Show. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network. Coming to you from our studios. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, let you know what's coming up here the rest of the way. We got two more hours. Bobby Valentine, former skipper, and a really good one. Bunch of different stops. The Rangers to start, obviously, with the Mets. We was wearing mustaches, got up to the World Series. We've got Daryl Green coming up in the third hour. Daniel Snyder finally cracking to monetary pressure. So, Washington's going to change the name and the imagery. So, we'll get to that. But the NBA, I really... Boy, I'll tell you, sometimes karma comes back and bangs you right in the side of the head, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Keep tweeting, Rajan. Keep tweeting.
Exactly.
I'm not even saying that I'm happy. I'm certainly not happy that he got hurt.
But you know what? You know, so I heard Jay Williams talking about this morning. He said a lot of those tweets were kind of like in jest. It didn't feel like they were in jest. You know what I mean?
No, not with him.
No, exactly.
He's not a jovial guy.
No, exactly. If his personality was like, let's have fun. Yeah. And he's like,
if
it
was
Motel 6, look where I'm staying at. You'd be like, oh, that's funny. I know you're used to staying in like the suite at the Ritz-Carlton. But,
correct.
I feel you, man. It is like the Motel 6 for you. But he's just always like sturdy and
surly
like dead serious. Don't joke with me. He may be different in person, but his public persona is not, I'm going to tell a joke right here and we're all going to laugh at it. You know what I mean? That's just not who you think he is.
Not at all. Very off-putting tweets, but you know, again, hopefully he gets, hopefully he's okay. He's going to miss roughly 6 to 8 weeks, thumb surgery. So he got hurt in the bubble. Another aspect of the bubble here that is pretty interesting is, and you and I talked about this the other day, there was about, I don't know, maybe slightly inside of 20 available options, slogans that tie into the Black Lives Matter movement, social reform, justice changes, all that stuff. And, you know, we thought it was a good look for the NBA to give players an option.
Mm-hmm.
And LeBron is opting to wear his last name on his jersey, as is his teammate Anthony Davis. Before we get into, because LeBron's taking some heat for this, before we get into the conversation, let's actually play it. First up, here's LeBron on just rolling with his last name. Go ahead, guys.
I actually didn't go with a name on the back of my jersey. And it was, it's no disrespect to the list that was handed out to all the players. I commend anyone that decides to put something on the back of their jersey. It's just something that didn't really, seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal.
I mean, it's tough to have any issue with that position, but albeit some people are, right, Teak?
Because everybody takes issues with positions that guys have when it doesn't perfectly align with whatever their vision is.
Yeah, but usually most people support LeBron.
Of course they do, but I mean, it's one of those things where like Kyle Korver is putting Black Lives Matter on the back of his jersey. And I think that's great. You know, Kyle Korver's a white, athlete. He's been around for a long time. So he knows a lot of, probably got a ton of black relationships. And so it means something to him. And so that's why he's wearing it on his jersey. LeBron James, while in line with all of this social justice reforms and the movement that's happening in the sports world, also has his own agenda. But we've always known that LeBron has had his own agenda about things. Mm-hmm. And so because he can't use his own agenda, he's just choosing to wear LeBron James on the back, or James on the back of his jersey. And let's be real. He said this like, it's okay. It's not like he said, I have my own whatever, and, you know, I'm pissed off at the NBA for not letting me do what I want to do. He said, I just wasn't part of the process. It's okay. It's all good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put LeBron James. But I think why people are upset is because when you're the greatest player in the game right now decides not to participate in something that the league is making a lot of effort to highlight, mm-hmm. then it kind of invalidates it in some regards, at least to some people. And I think that's why people are mad at LeBron, because they think he's turning his back on the movement, and it's not exactly what he's doing.
I think that's so unfair to LeBron. I think that that's such an embarrassingly bad take
yep.
by anybody who has skewered him. And, yep. and some prominent people have in the last couple of days. I think, listen, and I don't defend LeBron a ton, because the ego is just, it's out of control. I texted Tiki a picture over the weekend. He's got like some oxygen chamber, like
coming out of the cryo chamber or whatever. Come on. It was.
And he's like, it's time to whatever he wrote. It's time to destroy people, like I always do. Like each year, the level of arrogance pertaining to his game has just gotten more and more pronounced. And you know what? That to me. Trust me, I have no problem, you know, tooting the horn on occasion on my own. Yep. But you got to lay a little low on occasion, and he does the opposite. So that's my only beef with him. I also don't think he's always consistent with his messaging. But what he has done for children, what he has done for people who have been oppressed. I mean, LeBron James has been. I mean, he has been in the foxhole with a hard hat and a shovel for years, yep. man. And for anybody to get on him, listen, LeBron James is the one who has, you know, when he wakes up, you know, whether he's running hills back in the day or lifting weights or you know, doing 1,000 push-ups and sit-ups or pulling a truck, whatever he does to get himself to look the way he does and yeah. perform at this level at this age. You know what? When he wakes up, Tiki's not next to him. I'm not next to him. All of his fans aren't next to him. You know who's next to him? The James family.
Yeah.
So if I'm playing right now, I would do the same thing. You know what? The name that would be on the back, what would be on my jersey? It would say Tierney, because that's the person that got me to this point and myself. And without the support staff, my parents early, my wife and kids late, you know what? I wouldn't be here. So that's the name you're going to see. And if you have a problem with it, that's too bad.
Yeah, and that's kind of very similar to what Anthony Davis said when he was asked about this, BT.
My last name is something that is very important to me, and also social injustice as well. But just holding my family name and representing the name on the back to go through this process, and a name and people who've been with me through my entire career to help me get to this point.
That's funny. I had not heard the Anthony Davis, nor did I read it. So yeah. That's pretty interesting. It ties right in there. I mean, listen, you can appreciate this as a guy who willed himself from a tiny high school in Virginia, mm-hmm. was a track star, was, by your own accounts, a relatively middling, somewhat decent high school team. Not great.
No, we were average at best. At best, we were average. Yeah.
When Rondé got hurt, it was over pretty
yeah,
much,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. You we know? Were good, but we weren't great. And yeah. So we could win some games here, but not against really the good teams. But you're right. You know, you had to work I had to work myself into yep. where I got. And a lot of it was because I was diverse, you know what I mean? And my mom, single background upbringing, and me and my twin kind of Rondé doing things, you know, together and lifting each other and relying on all of these like surrogate father figures and friends, families to help raise us. So my name means something to me, you know what I mean? Because of what it took to get to where we were, of course. So I get what Anthony Davis is talking about. I get what you're talking about, BT. And I think people have to respect that. But mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that you're not heavily invested in the social justice environment that's happening around sports right now, right? LeBron James started a school, for Christ's sakes. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so, like, what do you mean he's not doing enough? I think he's doing more than enough.
And then we get to the argument, you know, which, quite frankly, is not really worth having, because I know you and I share the same opinion and stand on the right side of this. The symbolic gesture, which in certain spaces is effective and certainly means something,
yep.
okay? especially coming from a white player like Kyle Korver, to put that on that, that's going to resonate.
Right. It's meaningful. It's very meaningful.
Yep. Yeah, it's meaningful for him to do that. And to, you know, but you have to be able to differentiate between and contextualize, you know, tweeting something and doing something that could be somewhat hollow or construed as hollow, just a message, versus actually going out and rolling up your sleeves, whether it's sweat equity, whether it's monetary equity, or both, and actually trying to put a dent into changing a lot of things, as LeBron has. This is not Michael Jordan, you know, taking a pass on any sort of political position back in the day, or Tiger Woods remaining, you know, race neutral, which really alienated a lot of people all those years. This is a guy who is, you know, deep in the weeds of social change, saying, you know what, this particular aspect doesn't work for me. And hopefully everybody's cool with it. And if you're not, well, then I don't really know what to tell you.
I found that pretty
sad that some people actually took issue with it.
No, I do too. And but it just shows you the heightened emotions that we're going through right now in this world as it pertains to the social justice movement. Like, if you're either fully on board, like you're fully with everything that everybody says, or you're against us. And that's not fair, because perspective changes how it changes how you view the difference that you can make. And so LeBron's, you know, name to him means something that I think is valuable, especially if he couldn't do it the way that he wanted to do it.
Whatever message
he wanted to have.
It's your name.
Exactly.
Before you have anything else, you have a name. That's the first thing you have.
Yeah.
Before you even have a personality, you have a name. Forget about any sort of worldly items of ownership. The first thing you have is a parent, you know, hopefully two, and a name. I mean, that's the first thing you have. So let me at least get back to this. I said I would circle back to it. If we don't do it here, we probably won't get back to it, because we're going to get back to the Washington stuff in the third hour. We've got Darryl Green joining us, corner, Hall of Famer, great player, been on the show before, get his thoughts on that. But the Bleacher Report and their 100 rankings, the top 100, you ready? Let's go through some of these. I'm going to actually go in ascending order, just only because that's the way my my page is lined up. And let's just agree or disagree if these players are better than Westbrook. Some will be, obviously, but we'll go through them anyway. You ready?
Yep, let's
because
go.
They had him at number 23, Westbrook, and he had an issue with that. So Giannis, obviously. Okay. LeBron, obviously. Let's go to Kawhi. Obviously.
Yep.
Okay. James Harden, obviously.
Yeah.
What was that?
It depends.
Okay.
But yes, I'm going to say yes, obviously.
Luka Doncic, obviously.
Okay.
You're still slow to this kid, aren't you?
No, I'm just like I'm just thinking about Luka. Like, what is Luka? Where is Luka at now, and where is he going to be?
Well, he's better than Westbrook now, and he's going to have a better career than Westbrook eventually, okay, in my opinion.
Okay, so go ahead.
You know what I think of Luka. Come on, of course. Guy's a beast.
Yeah, of course.
Here's a name that I had. I didn't have him quite this high. Nikola Jokic.
The guy's great. He is, but
I say yes. I already said yes.
But I think part of this, though, is how he transcends, how these players transcend. And I don't know if Jokic has done that yet.
Well, like pop culture and kids.
I don't
care about that.
I know. But I think that's part of this, in a sense. Right? It's a popularity contest.
But if it was, he'd be higher, and Jokic would be lower, if that's the case.
But there's a lot of people that dislike Russell Westbrook as how he plays, how he seems to be selfish as a player.
All right.
I mean, he does have an MVP. He's averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons, right? He's just he's a really, really good, great player.
Not saying he's not. I got you.
But
I would vote yes for Jokic, though, but okay.
Go ahead.
I already stamped this one hard. You disagree. Damian Lillard. I'll take Lillard over Westbrook every day right now. Did you want to change your opinion on that or not?
Well, I mean, think about, so part of this is individual success, but it's also team success. Mm-hmm. And part of the Portland Trail Blazers, I don't want to call them failings, because they're a good team. I can't say they're like, you know, they're finishing like 13th in the division. You know
pretty
what I mean?
Pretty good. They're good.
Right?
Than
the
good
conference,
franchise.
I mean. Yeah, they're a good franchise, but Russell Westbrook's gotten farther, you know? Yeah. And so
with Durant.
Yeah, but
give
still,
Lillard Durant.
Could. Good. But that's just too many ifs and ands and buts and stuff.
I got you. AD. I got AD. You too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I don't know if I would agree with this. Well, you know what? I didn't mention it. Jimmy Butler is ninth. I might actually.
No, I can't do Jimmy Butler. He's been bounced around too much.
Two-way player, though.
He is, but part of it's his own fault. Okay. If he had stuck with one team or even just two and had been the man for some length of time, he's been like four places. You know what I mean?
But every place he goes gets better.
Oh, of course they do. But
so you say no?
Yeah, because I have to incorporate the team aspect of this.
Okay. Chris Middleton, I don't know if I could sign on for that. They have Chris Middleton 10th.
Oh, come on.
No, no way, stop. I have Jason Tatum. How about you?
Not yet.
Okay, I do. Joe, I have Embiid. How about you?
Not yet.
Okay. They have Chris Paul 13th. I don't know if I can go there anymore with Chris. Chris was having a good season, though, but that
he
seems
was.
A little ambitious, personally.
Well, Chris Paul was having a good season because everybody thought he was done, and he actually made the team better.
Yeah, he did. That team overachieved, for sure.
That's right. So
Karl Anthony Towns, they have at 14?
No, definitely not. Over Westbrook, yeah, no chance.
Ben Simmons?
No.
Okay. Now we'll just give you the other names they have because I know we got to hit a break.
Yep.
So after Simmons 15, they've got Paul George 16. They got Siakam 17. Rudy Gobert 18. Kyrie Irving 19. Hmm. Kyle Lowry. I can't put Lowry there. And I love Lowry. I can't put him there. 20. They got Bradley Beal. I would agree with Beal at 21. A little recency bias, but I'd put him there. And then they have Russ at number 22. Subjective, fun debate is what it is. Russ wasn't happy. We can understand it, but I don't think it's too far off base, but hey, that's what makes these lists fun. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, T, coming up next here. Baseball is back, but we all fear that the season will end early if it starts at all. Former skipper Bobby V will join us. We'll talk about, you know, preparing in this condensed second spring training, so to speak, a summer camp, and what we could expect from the season. Bobby V comes up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Or when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35. And now for a limited time, save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Get your auto parts quickly. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend as we jump into another week, getting to middle of July. We'll see eventually what's up with NFL training camps, and hopefully that goes well. There was a story. This came up a while ago, like early in the pandemic. It's been relatively off the radar since, but this is something Tiki and I are going to circle back to at some point in hour three.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance, and a growing chance, unfortunately, with a complete disruption to the college game for the big boys. I don't mean the Patriot or Bowdoin College or the Ivies. I mean, you know, let's face it, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC, et cetera. And the Pac-12, that Saturdays will be pretty vacant for a while, and there's a chance the NFL could jump through the front door and go Saturday and Sunday.
They were smart. They would.
I hear you. hear you.
It's a lot of NFL, but somebody got to own that space, right?
Yes. Well, you know what's crazy, too, and hopefully we're going to get Bobby V here, but we can kick this around for a second. We'll get more to it a little later. But, you know, last week I said you know, and by the way, this should be strongly inferred. If it's Alabama, you know, I don't know that I actually built out this disclaimer, but I didn't really need that. I didn't know that I needed to. If it's like LSU and Bama or Clemson and whomever, or, you know, Stanford and, you know, Washington, I mean, whatever, or Michigan, Ohio State, of course I'm going to watch those games if they're in the spring, remember?
Yep.
But that would be, and the reason I say that, because so many of the college football games at the end of the day really mean nothing outside of pageantry and money. Uh-huh. I mean, it is what it is. You know, that's right. Purdue, Indiana might be fun, but what does it really, what dent does it do or provide for the season? Not much.
Nationally.
No, nationally, of course, just
locally, it's obviously, it's huge deals, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nationally, you're right.
Yep. But if the NFL ever moved to Saturdays and Sundays, I mean, I don't care if it's 72 degrees out and it's like October 9th. I'm locking myself in the basement. I'm watching eight straight hours of the NFL because every game is impactful.
Yes, that's right. It's right. And you know, they all mean something. And the NFL, who, you know, I don't know if they struggle because locally they're fine, right? You put the local game on in the local market. That's what the local, you know, fan wants to kind of see. But if you are watching from a national perspective, like we do, because professionally we need to do that, it gets really hard to keep up with everything because it all is happening at
once.
That's
it's work. It's a job.
It is a full-time job to sit there on Sunday. And I'm not complaining about this at all, but
not
like
at all.
I'm trying to like, wait, what happened in that game? Wait, go back. Like, did I tape that one? Or wait, I missed that one, you know, and to find out what's going on. Now, most people don't have to do that. But my point is, if the NFL had 2 days over, really 3 days over the weekend, and four if you count Thursday, to space out all of their games, I mean, it would be like nirvana for
now,
the football,
but think about
NFL
it,
fan.
But what would it do? But now this creates a Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday template. Too much?
Yeah. Probably. It's probably too much. but I don't know. I don't think so, though. Because if you watch your home team, so you're a Jets fan, I'm a Giants fan. So we watch our home team on, let's say they play a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. The rest of the weekend, you're still watching football. Right?
Every single game.
Right? You're still not – I'm saying even if you weren't doing it for a living, you're still like watching it. Like
fantasy betting, of course.
Fantasy betting, like at the adversaries, what's the AFC East doing? Yeah. You know, oh, Tom Brady got hurt. You know, wow, is that going to affect us next week? Right? You watch the NFL even if it's not your team. So I don't think it would be too much, to be honest with you. I think they could be really smart about this in a one-year experiment. It's not going to ever happen because college football is going to come back.
You think so?
Not this year. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about eventually college football is going to come back.
Yeah.
And they're gonna want their place back. And we as a national sports consuming audience are going to want college football for the teams like Alabama and Michigan that you just mentioned, Ohio State, and also Notre Dame. BT, you mentioned this earlier, and we're trying to push Bobby V back to 440, but we had this conversation lined up. Notre Dame is interesting because right now they're an independent. We all know this. Liberty, I forget the other ones. Army is independent. BYU is independent. And with every major conference going to the conference-only schedules, these independents, they're stuck. Right, because all the games they were playing against the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or whatever out of conference schedule they had going on, it's now done, and we know what Notre Dame is driven upon. It's this national, you know, made for TV event every Saturday with the Fighting Irish, and they play six games currently in the ACC. And the outgoing Commissioner Swofford has said that they're going to try to accommodate Notre Dame, which is interesting because it brings up a lot of different questions. So the ACC is unique, BT, because there are not a ton of Power Five out of conference games in the ACC this year, mm-hmm. right? There's just not like it's not like Virginia's playing Michigan or, you know, like the Pac-12 has, you know, all these crossover games with these Power Five conferences. The ACC, I think, has one or two. And so by canceling or just going in-state or in conference only, you're missing out on, like, you know, Virginia playing Wayne Mary. You know, it's not like you're missing out on the huge TV games. Mm-hmm. And so there's room to accept Notre Dame. Now, the question is, how much are you going to accept Notre Dame? Because Notre Dame is ACC everywhere else except for in football. And we know why that is, because of this huge TV contract. If I'm the ACC, and this is why, if I'm the executives there, I'm trying every way possible to get Notre Dame to try to play a full conference schedule in the ACC. And hell, I might even consider letting them compete for the conference championship, because it creates a template for them to use as coercion to get Notre Dame more involved in the conference and bring that TV contract with them. Right, this is an opportunity for the ACC. So it was no like surprise when people started announcing conference only schedules, that the ACC was like, yeah, we'll accommodate you, Notre Dame. Come on in here. We got you.
But let me ask you this. How would Notre Dame's NBC schedule benefit?
Well, they can't play any NBC schedule, any of those games right now, right? Because they're all against like the Pac-12 and the Big 12,
correct,
and the Big 10 and all these teams that they're just not there. Six of them already.
Yeah.
Six of the, what are they, 11? Whatever it is. Six of them already were against ACC opponents. So those other six, you know, some of them are canceled. Now,
all of them are. They can't. Stanford and USC are canceled.
Yeah, but
Wisconsin's canceled it at Lambeau.
Yeah. But isn't there an independent in there? Isn't there like...
Well, they were playing Western Michigan, Navy, and Arkansas.
That's right.
So maybe one of those games is scheduled, I guess.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
I conceivably. I don't know if the Navy game has been canceled
yet. What is that? That's the AAC?
The AAC. That's the American. Yep.
Yep. I'm not sure if that one's canceled either. But still, if let's say it is. So now Notre Dame has the six conference games that they're going to play in the ACC.
Yep.
But then they're kind of stuck.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you can find these free moments or free games for other teams in the ACC to take on Notre Dame and coerce them in, I think it's an interesting opportunity. It's probably not going to lead anything to long term, but sometimes being a part of something is better than, you know, going it solo like Notre Dame is doing right now.
And by the way, what do you think? I mean, I've always had my opinions. What do you think is the perfect conference affiliation for Notre Dame? Like, if they had to join a conference, and obviously everybody would open the invite for them.
Yeah.
To me, there's really only one logical choice, and they're not in it right now.
Which is?
The Big Ten.
Because of location?
Well, I mean, primarily, but Notre Dame, Penn State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, weather, like-minded. There's some like-minded schools.
Yeah,
I know
what you're saying.
Too, but it would feel like the most natural fit, like a seamless transition.
And geographically, it makes the most sense. So this conference only schedule, we talk about it. Oh, it's geographically, it helps. Well, Rutgers is screwed. They got to go to the Midwest like five times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it depends. But if Notre Dame football was going to be in one conference, I agree with you, even though if Notre Dame is going to be in any conference, it's likely to be the ACC because every other sport that Notre Dame sponsors is in the ACC. The only one that's out is football for an obvious reason.
And it's always been that way. I mean, Mike Bray was coaching basketball in the Big East for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
You know? And obviously now the ACC.
All right.
So we've gotten word from Santer that looks like Bobby V should be good to go coming up next segment. So let's get the break, get the update. More specifically, Rich Ackerman's going to bring you the update, see what's cooking there, get you the all the news of the Nuggets. Bobby V after that. Darryl Green, Washington Corner, Hall of Famer, third hour, and more on Daniel Snyder relenting and finally signing off on the name and imagery change. So all that coming up after ACK, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, Tiki and Tierney back on this Monday doing more is a part of the show. This portion of the show brought to you by Doing More, sponsored by the Home Depot. Everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. So Home Depot, here to help. They've got many ways to help out. It's the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Oh, man. Looks like we've had our first bubble snafu in Orlando, huh, Teak?
Yeah, I know. This one was stupid and like a little bit of a mistake, but I do believe that there will be more, I don't know, intentional breakages of the quarantine line at some point.
There's not many rules, but one of the rules that's paramount to this thing working is to stay inside the bubble. And I guess one of the kings was ordering food, and he went to pick it up, crossed the threshold, and interacted with somebody else, not in the bubble, and now he's got a self-quarantine for 10 days. I guess he's 2 days in.
Yeah.
But I saw this too, you know, and this is something that has been talked about. Like, listen, I can't confirm it, but what are these Instagram models? Imagine that for a livelihood. Yeah. What do? I'm an Instagram model.
Exactly.
Jeez. Anyway, I don't know if
it's a great job, by the way.
I'm not saying, listen, I mean, if I was 20-something and I could have that job, I'd probably take it too.
Yeah. I mean, look, some of them are accomplished.
Absolutely.
She's a runner, the girl, I forget her last name now, but she came to one of these things we were doing with New Balance around the marathon. And, I kind of recognized her, but I didn't really recognize her. And then she said, yeah, follow her. She tagged me on a photo on Instagram. And then I started flipping through her thing. And I was like, oh, okay. That's what you do.
See, to me, they all look the same.
Right. But she's a runner. But she's a runner. Like, she's a good marathon runner.
Gotcha.
It's not like she's just pretty and hanging out and putting on running gear. But she actually runs marathons.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And she's actually pretty decent at them. So it's kind
of
cool.
But I guess one of the IG models, I don't know if she said somebody reached out to her or she reached out to, I think it was that one of the players inside the bubble already reached out to her via DM and was trying to get her to come inside the bubble.
Oh,
I mean,
Lord.
Seriously. So we shall see. We shall see. Young men will be young men. I get it. All right, let's talk to Bobby Valentine, former skipper, the Rangers, the Mets, the Red Sox, and one of the overall good guys, a smart guy, just a baseball man. And he is in charge of the Sacred Heart University Athletic Department as well. Just an interesting guy. Bobby V is back on the show. What's up there, Skip? How you doing today?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What's going on?
Hang it in, man. But listen, we're okay. I mean, listen, it is what it is. You aren't too far from where Teak and I live, so we're all quarantined and all faced with the last 3.5 months of misery. So how have things been? They've been abnormal. Let me ask you this, Bobby. Before we even get to the start of the baseball season, we've seen a lot of schools cut sports, you know, but whether it's Stanford or something, or a school like Bowdoin College. I mean, Sacred Heart, I'm familiar with it. I know the conference they're in. I know the teams they play. It doesn't produce a ton of revenue. Good school, though. Nice campus. Like, what is the prognosis for some of these programs at Sacred Heart? Any fear? You're going to have to cut stuff.
Well, you know, I am the executive director there, and we have a program that we think we're going to be able to keep, even though we have 32 Division I sports teams. We have over 900 athletes who participate at the Division I level, and we want to keep it that way. The problem's going to be finding competition, though, because, you know, there are a lot of schools that are trying to cut expenses and trying to eliminate sports, and it's a real muddy road that a lot of these schools are going down.
And real quick, Teak, the follow-up for me, though, Bobby, what could be problematic about that? You can have the intentions, as you just expressed, you know, because let's face it, a campus with a lot of student athletes, even if they're good teams, bad teams, it's just more vibrant. It adds to the culture. I get it. It's great. But if a lot of the schools around you start to drop now, even though you're motivated to keep, you've got to spend money to travel to play games you would ordinarily wouldn't have to pay money to travel for. And that could actually force you guys into a different decision with certain programs.
Considered every alternative, and we're just hoping that when people talk about getting back to normal, that normal becomes something that's similar to what it was in the past. But we don't know. We're ready to pivot any way we have to pivot, but we really do want to maintain the integrity of our sports program, and up until now, we've been able to do that.
Yeah, you know, last question on this before we move to baseball, Bobby. You know, the NCAA kind of is taking a, I don't know, side seat. I don't know what they're doing here. What from your perspective, what is the NCAA's role? What should they be doing?
Wow, that's a real slippery slope there. They're going to be tested. They're going to be tested by the Big Five right now. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of schools that are considering football not being part of the fall program. The NCAA is putting a lot of restrictions on how they think things should be done. And I think that the rubber is going to hit the road here, and the NCAA just might have to redefine themselves as as an organization that represents some of the universities, but not all.
So we're talking to Bobby Valentine, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Those who might, now, I didn't see Bobby as a player, but I knew when I heard growing up, you know, Bobby was a top flight Uber prospect. He got hurt and obviously became a terrific manager, but Bobby played. You know, I'm curious, Bobby, you're to me innovative enough and also old school enough to maybe contemplate in this 60 game truncated season a four-man rotation, as a few players have actually thrown out there. Is that something you would consider if you didn't have a lot of horses? Rather than throw out a guy who's a ragtag fifth starter, would you seriously consider going with four if you had four viable ones?
Well, it's nothing new. It's something old. That's for sure.
Yep.
And the idea of the five-man rotation, and sometimes when people even consider it a six-man rotation, is for recovery. That certain pitchers need a certain amount of time to recover 100% from the weightlifting session of throwing 100 pitches. You know, I mean, it's quite fatiguing when you do start a game and you have those 15 pitches innings mounting up. And once you get to a level, once you emptied the tank, it takes a certain amount of time for certain pitchers to fill the tank back up before they're ready to go again. And, you know, the ones who have been used to doing that, I don't think they can just flick the switch and go to a different rotation. I think they'll be risking injury.
Yeah.
But if today's world is high tech enough that they can measure the recovery and they know that the tank is full before the guy goes out there to try to throw those 75 or 100 pitches in his next start, then I guess you could use a four-man rotation, but I think you're really playing with fire. That's like saying, well, then why don't we just have pitchers pitch 6 days in a row out of the bullpen?
Yeah.
Or there's a reason that you don't pitch, 3 days in a row. Now
yeah.
It's because there's that fatigue level, and people say, what the hell is that all about? That sounds like a lot of baloney, but. The easiest way to visualize it in your mind's eye is to think about lifting weights. And if you have 100 pounds on a barbell and someone says, hey, can you lift that 10 times? You'll say, yeah, and you'll go and you'll lift it 10 times. And they'll say, well, after you rest 5 minutes, you can lift it 10 times again. You follow my drift? And
yep,
if you do that five times and you lifted it 50 times, you're probably not going to be ready to do that again tomorrow.
That's right.
What you're going to be able to do that maybe in 2 days or maybe in 3 days, depending on what your recovery time is. And throwing a baseball is that same breaking down action.
Yep.
That it's such a physically exhausting routine that the muscle and the muscular structure needs time to get the inflammation out and recover 100% to be 100%.
Yeah, so it's dicey, even though some people might be able to get away with it for a short amount of time. Let me ask you about some of these rules that are coming in. Universal DH is one that I think everybody's excited to experiment with in both leagues this year. But there is the runner on second in extra innings rule that we saw experimented with in the minors. Either one of these make it permanently, and should they?
Well, you know, it's funny. You use the word experimental using the DH. You know, in 1973, when the DH was established and I was a player, it was a three-year experiment. That's been a long three-year experiment, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's time to make a decision on that.
Yeah.
And when you think that there's so many people who run baseball today, from the ownership through the front offices, who played baseball sometime in their life. Now, not many no-owners, except for Derek, and hardly any front office people ever played a game of baseball with the pitcher hitting in their lifetime. So when they played Little League, they had a DH. When they played high school, they had a DH. If they played in college, they had a DH. Some of them played in the minor leagues, they probably had a DH. And if they happened to play in the American League like Derek did, he had a DH. So what the heck, why would anybody want to see their game of baseball be played with the pitcher hitting?
Yeah.
If you're following my drift. So,
sure.
You know, we need to figure that whole thing out and decide one way or the other. And I think this is probably going to be the impetus to have a DH for the rest of the time in MLB.
So we're talking to Bobby Valentine, who is a former skipper, of course, AD at Sacred Heart, a beautiful Northeast university, with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So I know you're getting ready. This is coming up. I believe it's this week. You're doing a Zoom with Roy White, who is a terrific Yankee, Jim Blair. It's the big home run in 96 against the Braves, and you're involved. It's a talking baseball Zoom. What is this all about, Bobby? What do you guys have going on?
Well, Zoom is Zoom. You know, we're going to try to reach out to those people who are bored out of their minds and see if we can't tell a story or have some fun where they can actually see us doing it in the confines of their living room or their bedroom or their rec room or wherever they might be watching us on their phone. It's just to fill some time for sure for the entertainment value. And, you know, Roy's just a terrific person who had an illustrious career with the Yankees, obviously also played in Japan.
Yep.
I think Jimmy might have played a little in Japan. And, you know, I managed in Japan, so that topic might come up. There'll be an array of topics for sure. And just like on your radio show, Zoom programming has no barriers, so you have no idea what the topics might be.
Yeah,
it sounds awesome, man.
No, it I does. Like it. It just sounds. Just...
And with the new rules, guys, for whatever it's worth, the three pitcher limit or minimum.
Yeah.
For
three batters. Yep.
Pitchers,
yep.
I mean, that is the most strategically challenging situation that managers will ever be faced with.
Interesting.
And they've never done it before. And there's going to be some managers wishing they thought three times before they made a certain move, because it's very difficult. It takes away all of that pre-game thought of how you're really going to match up your bullpen with their lineup, and it is going to require managers to be very nimble in their use of the intentional walk,
for sure,
which really has gone out of vogue, you know, because people think the walk is just like a hit. And you can't put runners on base, but now I think it's got it.
Hey, listen, Bobby, you got to save it for the Zoom. Listen, you got to save this content for the Zoom. We're against it. Always great hearing some good baseball stuff from Bobby V. Thanks a lot, buddy. Sorry to cut it short, but that Zoom sounds fun. Yeah, you got it. Bobby Valentine, good stuff there. Get back to Washington. Daniel Snyder finally cracked. Put it in caps. Never going to change. Put it in caps until they weren't. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, third hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.